take item 476.
Amend and extend term of limited right-of-way use agreement granted to Verizon Wireless, VAW LLC, doing business as Verizon Wireless, for mobile telecommunications services.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Mary Beth Henry, and I'm the manager of the Office for Community Technology. We're actually here today on a slightly broader issue, asking your approval for a small cell wireless pilot program that is embedded as part of this Verizon agreement. As you know, Portland's broadband strategic plan calls for state-of-the-art wireline and wireless technology and views these technologies as essential infrastructures for Portland's future. With grade schoolers all the way up through grandparents using cell phones, the demand for wireless capacity has increased exponentially. I'd like to provide some context as to the importance of this pilot. As we sit here in Portland today, staffers at the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. are drawing up plans to potentially preempt and/or establish rules for wireless deployment in our community. One-size-fits-all rules that may not work well here in Portland. Anticipating this possibility, city staff and wireless carriers came together to develop a small cell pilot program that we are hopeful will work well for our community and the carriers. To give you a sense of the urgency, today FCC Commissioner Pai said, "It's time to make it easier for carriers to deploy their wireless networks, particularly small cells." He went on to say that the FCC must act quickly to streamline all regulatory processes. We have a unique opportunity here today to demonstrate that we can craft a local solution with local rules that work well for Portland and the carriers. We have a short presentation from staff, Verizon, and AT&T, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, great. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jennifer Lee, Utility Program Manager with the Office for Community Technology. The ordinance you have before you today is a proposed amendment to the existing right-of-way use agreement between the city and Verizon Wireless. The city has negotiated and manages right-of-way use agreements with wireless carriers. These agreements allow carriers to site their wireless equipment on existing utility poles in the right-of-way. The ordinance would create a limited pilot program to focus on new technology being deployed by wireless carriers called small cells and distributed antenna systems, or DAS. Two carriers, Verizon Wireless and AT&T, approached the city with requests to deploy small cells in the right-of-way. Small cells and DAS are shorter-range systems designed to complement a carrier's existing cell network to increase coverage capacity in high-traffic areas and to extend coverage in harder-to-reach areas. The city's current policies and processes for siting wireless within the public right-of-way are based on traditional cell sites, where each site operates as a complete self-supporting unit. So here are some examples of current sites on utility poles within Portland's right-of-way. Small cells utilize smaller equipment and antennas and provide carriers with more flexible options in the configurations. Since 2009, the city's wireless right-of-way program has required a pre-application notice and informational neighborhood meeting for new sites in residential areas. Many of you may be aware of our process and the concerns raised by residents of the visual impacts that these larger traditional sites have had in neighborhoods. Small cells could be a solution to mitigate some of these concerns. During this proposed pilot program, a participating carrier will be allowed to deploy small cell infrastructure. The city has asked the two interested carriers to identify locations where small cells could be used. These would be the first installations of this new technology in the right-of-way in Portland. All small cell equipment, such as antennas and equipment boxes, will be attached to utility poles in the right-of-way. We are working with the carriers on the specific elements of the program, and no installations will move forward unless the parties all agree. In particular, we are discussing the processes, locations, fees, designs, and appropriate levels of notification for these installations. Through this pilot program, city staff will gain practical understanding of this new technology and how installations would differ from traditional macro sites. We will use this information to develop future policy for small cell installations on utility poles. We believe this pilot program is particularly timely as the Office for Community Technology has begun a review of its current right-of-way wireless siting and pre-application process. The review will look at whether the current process is meeting city goals and how we can make improvements to the program. Staff anticipate having recommendations to improve the overall program by late fall 2014 and propose that the small cell pilot program be in place until the time the program changes are effective. Each carrier who may participate in the proposed small cell program must have its right-of-way use agreement amended separately to allow for a pilot. Today's ordinance would amend Verizon Wireless's right-of-way agreement to create this program. In addition, Verizon's ordinance contains some routine amendments to align its agreement with other carriers' agreements to maintain consistency among all carriers. Representatives from both AT&T and Verizon are here today in support of this pilot program, and I understand that they will be providing you with more information about small cells with their remarks. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Okay, great.
I don't have a question. I don't even know what questions to ask. I just want to say thank you for knowing that we have two great technical experts in our Office for Community Technology who are doing just great due diligence on this new program. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So we do have the carrier's presentations right. Next.
Okay, great. Thank you. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. My name is Mike Connors with the law firm Hathaway Kobach Connors. To my right is Shannon Prusha with Urban Wireless, and we're here on behalf of Verizon Wireless. The primary purpose that we're here is to extend and amend our existing right-of-way agreement. Our current agreement expires June 30 of this year, and we began some discussions about getting that extension in place, and as part of that, staff has recommended some amendments to basically update our agreement to incorporate some of the other amendments that have recently been implemented by the city for other carrier agreements, all of which we're comfortable with. And obviously one big component of that that you've heard about is a small cell pilot program. So that begs the question, what's a small cell? I'm no engineer, I've got 5 minutes, so I'm not going to be able to give you all the details, and I may not be able to answer all your questions, but what I'll do is kind of give you a little overview of that and an idea of what was the impetus behind the small cell pilot program. And then Shannon's going to show you some slides, show the fun part, show you some pictures, and provide you a little bit more information. So in general, what a small cell is, it's a low-powered, short-range wireless facility that's intended to complement the existing macro system. And its primary purpose is to provide increased capacity in high data traffic areas. As you heard and know, there's been this huge explosion of mobile data use growth, and that's both by the increase in number of wireless users as well as the increase in number of means that people are using their wireless devices. And what that does in certain concentrated areas where you've got a lot of traffic is it overloads the existing macro system and makes it very difficult for carriers to be able to accommodate all that traffic. So the design behind the small cell is to go to those high traffic areas, provide a very targeted type service to help offload some of that off the overall macro system. So it provides a huge critical infrastructure need that we have today, and if you look at projections into the future, is only going to be increasing. The other benefit you get is from the name small cell. These facilities are significantly smaller than the macro facilities that you're accustomed to. In fact, if you look at, you'll see some of the pictures on the cabinets. The cabinets are designed of a size that you'll be able to, we'll be able to mount these on utility poles, on the poles themselves, and then predominantly in the case on existing infrastructure in the right-of-way. So it provides a huge benefit in from the perspective that it mitigates visual, space, noise-type impacts from what you're typically accustomed to seeing with the macro facility. So when we were having these conversations with staff about updating our right-of-way agreement, one of the dilemmas that we had is how do we deal with these small cells? The existing agreements and rules that are in place are all designed to deal with a macro type system. And so they don't really work. They don't accommodate a small cell, and they create major obstacles to being able to deploy these systems. You also have, as you heard, the city currently in the process of reevaluating its current policies, and you actually have an RFP consultant working on that, but that's something that's not going to occur till sometime next year, and we're looking at doing these deployments this year. And then, of course, you have how do you deal with a new technology that's you don't really have any example to use as a good example to determine what are the best policies, hence the pilot program, which we thought was a great idea because it enables us to meet these critical infrastructure needs in a timely manner, and it provides the benefit of being able to allow us to use this as an example so that when the city is prepared to go forward with this long-term plan and consider what are going to be the long-term policies, you'll have an example to use so that you have a concrete example that you can use for purposes of determining how you're going to regulate and handle small cell facilities. So we think it strikes a good balance of being able to meet the critical broadband infrastructure needs and also be sensitive to community values and needs and impacts and use this example to figure out from a long-term perspective how we're going to strike the right balance. And real quickly, I just want to say I want to really compliment the staff. And I know that you typically hear that. That's sort of the politically correct thing to say when you're in these forums. But they've really done an incredible job because, again, we're talking about a really important need, not just from our perspective as carriers, but from the community perspective. And we had this obstacle that we're up against. How are we going to do this in the time constraints that we have? How are we going to do it so that we know that it's done right? And I think they've really worked with us as partners to come up with a very creative way of being able to strike that right balance. And so I wanted to make a point of complimenting them and telling you that they've been very good to work with, and we feel that we've got a great partnership with them. And so with that, I'm going to turn this over to Shannon, and she's going to provide you a little bit more detailed information on small cells.
Thank you.
Hi, Shannon Prusha, representing Verizon Wireless. To describe exactly what are the components of a small cell, it's basically about a ninth of what you see in a macro cell. It would be a small antenna on the top, which more than likely comes in the shape of a canister. It would be placed on top of the utility pole, and then between the lines above where a pedestrian could reach a cabinet, you could have a cabinet that's a 2x2x1, a 3x2x1, or a 4x2x1, and that's shown on the picture there. So even though he's standing right next to the cabinet, that's just as a point of reference, the cabinet would actually be up above where anybody could touch it. The antennas themselves, the point is to serve between a 500 to 750 foot radius around that specific what's called a node. And each antenna, each utility pole would be called a node. And you would have a series of two or three that would work together and report back basically to one of the macro cell sites. So it's a way to cover the people where they congregate, where they shop, where they eat, where they sit, where they recreate, without having these large macro cells come into neighborhoods, come into our streets within the city where they just don't visually fit.
So from a pedestrian standpoint, that cabinet, the bottom of that cabinet is up well above 6 feet. So in other words, the clear zone along the sidewalk is unchanged, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Important. We've got a lot going on our sidewalks.
Yes, we do.
All right, good. Other questions? And then good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ken Lyons with Bush Law Firm on behalf of AT&T. I'm going to just quickly switch spots because I have separate pictures to show.
Some PowerPoint as well. Thank you both. Unless there are any other questions, thank you. You can stay up here.
Okay.
Keep the panel up here. Get our technical resource people all at once here.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning,
Mayor and Commissioners. My name is, might be afternoon now.
Afternoon now. Just made it.
Ken Lyons with Bush Law Firm on behalf of AT&T. Thank you for this opportunity. I would echo what Mr. Connors has said about really complimenting the staff for all their hard work and leadership and crafting a program that's like this. Today I'm here to basically speak in support of this initiative. And just wanted to kind of perhaps provide some background that perhaps was alluded to by both the Office of Community Technology and Verizon, but hopefully not duplicate what you've already heard. I just want to talk about a couple of factors that are driving growth in the industry. The first here is that, as Mr. Connors alluded to, we've seen an incredible growth, especially since the advent of the smartphone, the iPhone. You can see that on AT&T's network, we've seen about a 50,000% increase in data traffic. Again, something that was minuscule even a decade ago has become an entire new generation of how people communicate. And that's one important factor that's driving it. Another thing that's changing is how people use their wireless phones. This is a graphic that shows really in the last 10 years how we're starting to see a historic migration away from landline telephones. And the primary way that people are communicating is shifting rapidly towards a mobile infrastructure. And you see this in many people giving up their home phones, landlines altogether, and going wireless only. That's an example of this. And you can see how the trends are really quite amazing. It's also very, very important to a city's economic development, how small businesses, they truly depend on wireless technology, and how they, and the majority of them, couldn't survive without it. And, of course, in Portland, we know that's also especially true. There's a lot of mobile application developers that also depend on this as well as for their livelihood. And, of course, more and more people are working from home. Telecommuting is becoming even more rapid and possible because of the ability to connect using tablets and smartphones and computers. And I'll mention this. The city of Portland is very, very important to AT&T. In the last few years, we've invested about $350 million in our networks in Oregon. We've launched an LTE network, 4G LTE, which stands for Long-Term Evolution. It provides broadband data speeds, about 15 megabits per second is about an average of when it started. And so it's really a tremendous benefit to the community. And we're also kind of in a multi-year plan to increase our infrastructure, first by upgrading sites that already exist. You've seen that as well. But also to add new facilities. And then in order to keep up with demand, we're looking for new technologies to implement, in this case, small cell. What are small cells? Well, as has been alluded to, basically they're small antennas that are attached to existing structures. This is just an example picture. Obviously, in certain communities, you have to meet clearance requirements, so I wouldn't necessarily take this as the design that's being proposed. But you can see that there's basically an antenna that's proposed, in our case, in the communication zone between the lines there. And then you have a small equipment enclosure that's attached, again, directly to the pole. The system that AT&T designs is a little bit different than Verizon in that most of ours are intended to go on existing utility poles, not necessarily on top of the utility poles. And then, of course, just a couple of benefits. Obviously, they have a much smaller visual impact than a traditional macro facility. They can be located on existing structures, so they generally tend to not require a new tower or something like that to be put on them, which really generates a lot of the impact. They can be deployed flexibly, and in addition to what Verizon said, it's not just suitable, at least from our perspective, for high-capacity areas, but also very hard-to-reach areas, parts of the city that maybe historically have been underserved by wireless services. And then there are, but there are definitely some limitations. On top of that, they're not a substitute for macro facilities. They don't have the capacity or the ability to, and again, these work in concert with a macro network to be able to provide that type of service. And generally speaking, we would like to just mention that obviously the current agreements that carriers have with the city as well as the current regulations, again, they're all designed around a macro facility and macro level types of impacts. And so the terms and process don't necessarily fit what's being trying to accomplish with a small cell, not just small cell facilities, but a small cell network. And so we would speak in support of the proposed ordinance because it would authorize an optional small cell pilot program and allow OCT, the pole owners, in this case probably PGE, and carriers to jointly determine terms and conditions that could allow these to move forward on a trial basis. And AT&T is still researching to make sure that these that we can find a suitable candidate within the city of Portland that would be appropriate to do a trial. We're still evaluating that. So obviously, working through all these details is a very critical step in order for us to be able to proceed. And that's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any further questions for any of our resource people here? Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you. So any further questions for the Office of Community Technology? Anyone else sign up to testify on this? There are others signed up? Okay.
Yes, we have one person. Okay. Ben Barber.
Come on up.
Come on up.
Hello again.
Hello, my name is Ben Barber. Oh, sorry. I actually can answer lots of your engineering questions regarding this, but I don't think those are as pertinent as necessarily other issues along the lines of net neutrality and also maybe common carrier status and efficiency of these small cell sites. I would propose, for instance, that Sprint be the one to trial this because they have won the most spectrum and thus can actually produce more cost-efficient base stations per bandwidth delivered because you can only get a maximum of two bytes per hertz, or sorry, two bits per hertz. And furthermore, they have not opposed net neutrality on the same level that Verizon or, say, AT&T have. Sprint may very well need to have a network backhaul, but as I'm sure you're aware, you're working on an intergovernmental agreement with Google, and I'm sure Google might be happy to provide some of that network backhaul for Sprint, but I strongly advise against, in particular, using AT&T and Verizon unless their stance on net neutrality changes. Do you have any engineering questions? Oh, I've also worked for Verizon Wireless, if that makes any difference.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right. Questions? Thanks very much. Any further questions for staff? Appreciate your good work. We depend a lot on the amazing staff, as Commissioner Fritz said, at our Office of Community Technology. So,
Mayor and Commissioners, Mary Beth Henry again. I did just want to clarify that today's item is the Verizon ordinance authorizing right. the small cell program. Next Wednesday, the AT&T ordinance will be before you, but it's the same framework.
Right.
So I just wanted to make sure that you understood that.
And Jennifer Lee from the Office of Community Technology. Just in response to Sprint, this pilot program, you know, if you would approve the concept of it, would be open to all carriers to apply. At this moment, only AT&T and Verizon have actively approached the city, so that's why we have gone forward with these two companies. But, you know, if Sprint were to come through the door and say we want to do this too, you know, we would say fine, you know, on the same terms that we are agreeing with the other carriers.
Yeah, as is always our approach with technology as it evolves, it's we create the marketplace framework for them to operate within the right of way that we have authority over. So, great, thank you for that clarification. Thanks very much. Okay, this passes to second reading.